Hello from the ESPN Charlotte studios in Uptown Charlotte. Welcome to episode 60 of the Second Yellow Soccer Show. I am Brad Barnett. Kevin Chamberlain is in here with me as well. And that's Gary Ford over there in the corner sobbing uncontrollably after England unfortunately lost yesterday.
You know, it's good when you,
intro. 17 seconds to bring that up. Thanks.
I didn't want to bring it up too early, but I figured it couldn't wait too long. So, do you guys believe we're actually on 60 episodes?
Yeah. So this coincides with the kind of shared branding that the Independents and DeShare Zone did, where the Independents were 6-6-6 for their record last night, which I'm happy to say is no longer because we got one more in that win column.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and the accumulation of cards that have been happening for some odd reason. It feels like every game I just see.
When you're on the devil's level, you get red cards every now and then.
Every,
you know what I
every
mean?
Single game, it pops up on my phone on the second yellow Twitter. And it just says, Kevin Chamberlain replied, hashtag branding. And then I always go,
A lot of straight reds lately, though.
Yeah, well, this is not the straight red soccer show, though. We could do another one. Who wants to do another podcast?
No.
Goose, probably.
Yeah.
All right, well, 60 episodes. Boys, I think we finally made it. Jason is not here as he told Gary and I, he had no voice. His wife had an event, and it was literally like he was talking with, I think, rocks in his mouth. Is what he said?
There was a point last night which he looked over at me, and the sound was like gargling hot acid. And I didn't understand a word he said. All I heard was, and he's literally like three rows behind me. He's not far.
We put in a shift last night.
I heard it was good. My daughter was actually there. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. But I'm glad. It seemed like it was a fun atmosphere.
We did debuted a new song based on an England one from the World Cup, and we thought we'd give it a go for the last few minutes of regular time and what we assumed would be a few minutes of injury time.
We played 8 minutes of injury time.
8.5 minutes.
At least 30 minutes of that game, we were singing that one song just on repeat.
My ribs hurt.
Well, I saw your Twitter you actually threw your back out singing. So
that's not quite how I put it, but yeah.
That's a Richard level, to be honest with you. Man, he goes to dinner and hurts his knee.
You don't realize how much effort you have to put into making that much noise with that smaller group.
Hey, how'd you hurt yourself, Gary? I yelled a lot.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately the part of getting old. But I do want to jump in. Andy finally getting there another win. And, of course, their subpar run of late. But I do have to cover the World Cup because we are not just an indie show. We do cover everything, at least most of everything, or some stuff. Actually, we don't cover a whole lot of anything, but we will cover the World Cup. So we are down to the final, France versus Croatia. I'll get both of y'all's opinion on that in a second. But I do want to discuss the semis. France and Belgium. France won 1-0. And that's a very talented team, for starters, France.
I was going to say, which one?
Both of them are, but France is very talented. But Belgium, it almost sounds like they're a little sour grapes, claiming they played like Panama, like they got up and then they just sat back.
So I have a theory here, and the difficulty came as soon as the starting lineup for Belgium was announced, and Fellaini was announced as Plan A instead of Plan B. Look, make fun of him all you want, and you know I love to do that. He has been working as Plan B. You bring him on if you're trailing and you need to win some headers in the box. And he has done that successfully. He's made a career of that.
You know how close we were to a Fellaini-Lovren World Cup final?
Nope. Yeah, too close. But that's just it. They brought him out as Plan A instead of Plan B, and it was all downhill from there. They look like they lacked a little bit of creativity in midfield. And when you have Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard as your midfielders, you cannot do that.
Yeah, I agree.
The accusation from Belgium was that France played anti-football, which I think was a bit harsh, although the game was pretty dreadful.
Belgium did control a lot of possession.
What France are doing is taking a very talented team with some great individuals on it and playing sensibly, for want of a better term. And you look back at the last World Cups, that's what Germany did in 2014. Am I getting the years right? That's what Spain did in 2010. They had great teams full of great individuals who didn't try to rely on that individuality and moments of brilliance, but try to have a game plan and stick to it.
Play a system.
Yeah, but play a system that worked.
And they did it really well.
Yeah. I never have an issue with teams, especially at this stage, in any tournament, really. The key is to win, right? So yeah. You do what you have to do to win. And for Belgium to come out and say that, you know, they played like Panama, which is, if I was Panama, I'd take that as a huge compliment.
Yeah. Like, hell yeah, Panama.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just like Panama.
Panama let in six, so I don't really see the comparison.
It sounds like sour grapes, given the timing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, okay, well, we didn't beat you. We had our chances, but we didn't beat you, because not because you're better than us, but because you didn't play well. You played the anti-football.
Yeah.
And I have a real issue with the timing. But France is moving on.
And you know, Belgium have got to take a lot of credit and a lot of pride in what they did in reaching that semi-final. And, you know, if they hadn't beaten England, if their B team hadn't beaten England B in the last group, they'd have been in the easy side of a draw and they could be in the final.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic achievement for what's a pretty damn small country.
Yeah, yeah. And it's their golden generation trophyless, which is likely the last time we'll see them all together, I would imagine. How old is Hazard?
I don't know. Kev's like 27.
46. So, yeah, I mean, there maybe yeah. One Euros probably, but
perhaps maybe if you make the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, age doesn't stop. Ask Gary. And then we went to the other semifinal, which this one's going to be a heartbreaker. It was for me. I've my mom was born in England. I have a lot of family over there. That's who I was pulling for in this World Cup. And to see them lose it 2-1 in the 109th minute, I think it was, off of just lack defense and a great finish.
Yeah, you know, two great finishes were Croatia's goals.
Yeah.
One arguably a high boot to Kyle Walker's
He wasn't going to call anything, so...
Well, I mean, if he finished that, no, but if he didn't, you'd wonder if the ref kind of bail him out and say, okay, well, it was a high kick anyway, so...
Yeah, it is one of those anywhere else on the pitch.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Maybe. But I'm not going sour grapes on this. You know,
sadly,
it's a perfectly good no call.
It was a great run by a really young and talented England team, and I was impressed. Was expecting disappointment earlier on in the stages.
Well, yeah, they went to penalties.
Yeah, and
we all know how that song and dance typically goes.
England literally wins never wins any penalties.
In the Euros, they do.
Stuff that matters. But hey, kudos to Croatia, who have the population size of Oregon is what I heard this morning.
It's 4 million. Ducks. 4 million, which
go
is
Ducks. Well done. Unless you're an Oregon State fan, in which case go Beavers. But
Brad rooting for the Beavers.
I do what I can. I do what I can. This mic makes me feel like I should be. So what was the take from the game, though? I mean, England, Trippier's goal was beautiful.
Yeah.
Dream start, and then.
So he's one of now three Englishmen to score in a World Cup semi-final. Bobby Charlton, Gary Lineker, and Trippier.
Interesting stat.
Yeah, what a group. That's a 3v3 tournament win if I've ever heard one. But, I mean, takeaway from the game, it seemed like it was well played from what I could see working. I refused to watch the replay because I was still very frustrated by it, unfortunately. But kudos to Croatia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were the better team on the day. I mean, I'm going to whine about Lovren not getting, you know, at least one early yellow that could have changed the shape of it.
Geiger would have gave him 7.
End of the day, you know, Croatia, it's, you know, from the end of the first half, were the better team by far.
So I have a counterpoint to that. I don't think they were the better team. I think it was a pretty.
I just said they were, Kevin.
It was a pretty even
it's
game.
Done, Kevin.
From what I was able to see, it was a pretty even game.
Oh,
the turn happened when England took off Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't able to create anything after that. Yeah. Do you disagree?
No.
Yeah. No Raz, no party.
Yeah, it just ran out of ideas. No creativity.
So
and quite honestly, they looked more tired.
They did look more tired
than the Croatia team that was on their sixth hour of.
Yeah, they played an entire extra game, Calvin told us.
So, you know, France is going to be watching this thinking, well, they'll be tired for the final. This is going to be easy.
The Croatians never get tired.
Learn from our mistakes.
But I am extremely happy for Luka Modric. That's one of the just all-around generally nice guys in the game. Plays it right, in my opinion.
Which is why he's going to jail.
Probably. But, you know, what are you going to do?
You heard after their first extra time game against Denmark, was it, where he missed the penalty And all the players during the penalty shootout were like, all right, we got to do this for Luka. Yeah. You know, he's been carrying us on his back the whole time. Now it's our turn to take it over. And they did. So good for them.
I think it's great. And it's a wonderful little storyline.
Yeah, except for that guy with a terrible haircut.
Which one?
Vida, the one that was gonna have to give me more seen online.
He's the guy who looks like he should be the bad guy in a Die Hard movie.
Is his name Hans? Hans, Bubby.
Ho, 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 I have a machine gun now.
That's what makes it a Christmas movie, just for the record. So a couple thoughts on tournament before we actually get into the final. Surprisingly, and Kevin, you and I mentioned this on Twitter, racism has not played an issue at this at all.
I was going to say, until you talk about Vida, he's the one
but I'm saying, like, in
posted the video online of him giving anti-Semitic far-right Ukrainian chants against Russia or whatever.
But in terms of the crowd and the Russian fans is what I'm talking about, the atmosphere itself.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about that. I'm not sure if Putin put the kibosh on all that.
There was some journalist or something got mugged or something after one of the games, and they were talking about, like, yeah, they caught the guys that did it, so good for them. But I guess the threat of that severe of a jail time for hooliganism, as it is put in quotes, actually got people to not do it, which is great.
Unfortunately, the sexism has been a huge issue with the female reporters. Just the randomly coming up and groping and kissing them and things like that. I don't know what you do about that, but it's an issue. Yeah. And it's, who knows? But we'll see what happens in 4 years when they're in Qatar or Qatar, depending on where you are in the world and how you pronounce it. So, which will be played in the winter for those of you who don't know, because Qatar is about 300 degrees in the summer. And in the winter, it's only a nice brisk 115.
Palpable.
Yeah. So, but let's get to the World Cup actual final. Let's get to France versus Croatia. What are you guys looking for? What are you expecting? Who do you have winning it? And
France 1-0.
Yeah, I have to think it's France. I looked at the Belgium-France game as like, oh, this is the real final.
Slow strangulation.
The two most talented teams left in it, arguably. But you have to fancy France.
Yeah, maybe Croatia push up a little far late on and Mbappe scores. You know, but that speed is going to tear him apart.
Yeah, God, he's been excellent to
ridiculous.
Watch. Oh, he's been so much fun to watch.
Insane. They had the combination during the Belgium game where he hit it where he opened up with his left, I think it was his...
And backheeled it.
Right, and then backheeled it. Around. I mean, just
absolutely filthy.
Nasty. And, of course, Giroud messed it up. But whatever. what are you going to do? I'm surprised.
Because Giroud is awful. Always has been.
Good hairline.
I'm not going to argue with you. He does have a good hairline, doesn't he? All right. Well, we cover the important topics here.
God doesn't deal with both hands. Good hairline, crap footballer.
So for the third place game, Belgium versus England, are we going to see...
I'm not going to see anything.
The
I'm
B
not gonna
or
watch
the C
it.
Teams again?
I have never watched
terrible.
A third, fourth playoff, and I never will.
Terrible.
Who, as a manager, do you bring out your best squad for that, or do you just play the people that?
Yeah.
Just to
play the guys that got you there. That's what I think. The guys and you know who has never won a third place playoff game? England. You know who has? The U.S. of A. 1930 World Cup, of which Gary was 4 years old, but a mere lad.
Just a little guy.
Yeah, I was pulling for Yugoslavia in that one.
Just a little fella. All right, anything else on the World Cup?
Was it Yugoslavia?
Yeah.
Did they even exist?
Yeah. Croatia.
Yeah.
One of them.
That's right, yes. Yes, they were a portion of that, if I'm not mistaken. Anything else you guys want to hit on the World Cup? I mean, it should be a pretty good final. I expect a midfield battle.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned the visible lack of racism, and I think I've only heard of one, you know, homophobic incident. But it's been a rehabilitation, as Putin wanted, for the image of the country, I think. I mean, it has been nice to see, you know, happy-go-lucky crowds, but, you know, that's what he paid FIFA for. That's what the bribes were for.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep, and just wait till the Champions League and one of those Russian teams has to play somebody else, and it'll change.
Yep.
But nobody will cover that because it's not the World Cup.
Yeah.
All right, well, should be a good final. I expect a strong midfield battle.
Yeah, what's your prediction?
2-1 France. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be 1-1 and Mbappe will catch him on a break. I can't say the guy's name.
Mbappe.
I can't say his name to save my life. My daughter's like,
Jason
who is that?
Is here in
Stick
spirit.
With Killian.
my daughter's like, who is that? I'm like, Mbappe. So I do the, it's like the old Hanson song, Mbappe. It's just Mbappe.
Yeah, well, so that's it. Okay.
It's the best I can do.
You're on the right track.
It's the best I can do. I never claim to have the linguistic ability of Jason Bailey, ever.
Ooh, Banal.
Ever.
Or Banus. What did he say?
Banus.
He said Banus.
The episode that will go down in infamy.
Yes. It's amazing we made it to 60 after that one.
Annual Banus.
It's absolutely amazing. All right. Shall we jump to support local?
Yeah.
You guys want to do that?
It's what we do.
We love to.
All right. So Indy, as Kevin alluded to earlier, got off of the Devils track of the 6-6-6 record. Are actually sitting seventh in the East as of today with 7 wins, 6 losses, and 6 draws, 27 Woo! Points. The last 5 results have been 2 draws, 2 losses, and a win. Last night they did beat Nashville 1-0 at home. I guess when you hear this, it'll be Wednesday. That is their first win since June 2nd when they beat Ottawa 1-0. However, since then, they have scored 10 goals in 8 games. So they've actually scored.
Just also conceded.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's injuries, defensive issues, or cards.
Still dealing with some injuries. We've got some players back, but getting Donnie suspended for 3 games with a straight red card, which was absolute nonsense, was a bit unlucky.
Hamstrings have been an issue again.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then again. They're practicing on natural field now, so I'm a little bit concerned by that.
Yeah. And a new strength and conditioning coach, too, right? So I don't know.
Those things happen. And cards, as you mentioned, cards have been a real issue. Every
little bit of disciplinary lack.
Every game we have our director of marketing, Kevin Chamberlain, hashtag branding with cards or sometimes with an expletive to follow.
I will say
the one with Duckett was funny, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he's a fan favorite on the show.
Yes.
A friend of the show.
I was talking to him last night actually after the game. I've mentioned this before. I love the guy dearly. I think he's a fantastic human being. He's a great professional. So my daughter went to the game last night, which is Wednesday when you guys hear this, and asked my father-in-law who took her, well, where's Duckett? And he told her he's suspended.
He was a bad boy.
He got a couple cards, and her first reaction was, well, was it warranted? It's my daughter for you.
So, I'll tell you one thing, Caleb's was.
So after the game, and for those of you who don't know, which I'm surprised the three of you who listen to the show still don't know, Ashley,
come on, Zach.
Ashley Mahoney is my sister-in-law, so she was working the game. So my daughter, her niece, came up to her and said, I'm upset I didn't get a chance to see Duck. So Ashley pulled out her phone and texted Duckett, and he had a conversation with my daughter right there.
Nice.
And so I just thanked him for that on Twitter last night, and I told him I appreciated what he did to help the branding of the show, but he's way more valuable on the field than he is. Yeah,
try to stay on the pitch.
Yeah, I need him there, not helping the show. We can talk about that after he retires.
Yeah, perfect.
But again, just another kudos to a guy who's doing it right and making an impression with the young kids. So unfortunately, he wasn't there last night, but a beautiful goal.
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, a very beautiful save.
Great save beforehand,
fantastic
too.
Save.
And I have to love the little tantrum he threw afterwards, yelling at his defense. It's even funnier later on in the game whenever he ran 20 yards out of his box to go knock the absolute crap out of Alex amidst the Caleb fricus, which the cameras just happened to miss.
What's going to happen there?
Coincidental. Going back and suspending him would be the least that USL could do, but of course they won't. But it was his little tantrum made it all the worthwhile. But
actually,
happy to see.
If you get a chance to look at the goal again from there's an angle that's kind of to the side and behind one of the goals. Just keep your eyes on Matt Pickens the whole time and just watch a little dance he does after the save as he's kind of flailing around, desperately trying to figure out, watching the ball go past it. Oh, it's hilarious.
Thinking, all right, when do I blame the defense? right now. Now.
Now's the best. When the shot is hit and it's that solid, that's when you blame the defense.
Didn't he got his foot on that, didn't he?
Yeah, he smacked it right into the ground. Perfect.
The form on that was absolutely insane.
Great cross from Cato, too, to get in the box. That TNT connection.
Is that what you're going to call that now?
Trinidad, Tobago.
Don't forget the free kick from Jorge.
Yeah. That was a perfect set piece. Get Matt Pickens to save it directly to Cato, who crosses
it. Let's just be honest. He's going to save it.
Yeah.
So let's just have it to where he can't catch it.
Yeah, perfect.
Get a rebound, put it back out to about the 18, you know?
Yeah.
Hit a half volley, or full, I guess it was a full volley,
yeah,
wasn't it? Into the ground, right in front of the defense where they can't do anything. So they get yelled at. It's literally off the training pitch.
It's good, really good camaraderie from Nashville to all get yelled at the same time.
And that was Kevon George's first professional goal.
Yeah?
That's what I saw. I think so, yeah.
Awesome.
What a way
we
to
were
get
witness. I knew it was his first for us. I didn't realize
that. Here's my question. At that point in time, Gary, did you throw your back out already, or was it in the process of being thrown out?
We kind of actually were relatively quiet till that point.
That was right around the time. Yeah. We'd come up with the second rendition of that song, which you do not want to hear the first. But we came up with the second rendition of that song. I started singing it shortly before that goal, and then the goal cemented its legacy of, oh, well, now we have to sing this for at least the next 5 minutes at the very tip top of our lungs. It was a lot of fun.
So it kind of describe how the game, how the flow of the game went, because some of us, like myself, don't want to spend the $5 for ESPN Plus.
Yeah. So Nashville, an incredibly defensive team.
All right, to be fair,
they do not concede.
I was working late, so let's just like
throw that in there.
So you guys know.
Sure.
Yes, I was sitting with my feet in an inflatable pool at my house, but I was working.
It's called
late.
Work.
Actually, I could have made it to the game. I drove right past it. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And now you're just digging a hole, Brad.
It is what it is.
So Nashville, very defensive team. Great at not conceding goals. Also great at not scoring goals. They've only scored 10 this entire year. Let me repeat that.
I'm sorry, 10 goals
this year?
They have
scored 10 goals this entire year. That being said, they're sitting, what, tied on points with us currently? So they've managed to do a good job of getting results.
When I saw the standings, they were ahead of us, but I don't know if it's because of points.
Are they?
But they were ahead of us for some
reason. Either way, yeah, it goes to prove the fact that they've been managing to get results while not at all scoring, which good for them, but is a relatively kind of open beginning to the game, more so than I expected. I expected them to kind of sit back and feel each other out a little bit more. That was how the game went at the away fixture earlier this year in Nashville. But, you know, they started with the ball, kept the ball for maybe the first 3 minutes.
They've scored 17.
17?
Yeah, and conceded 11.
Update the infographic. Regardless, they kept the ball pretty well early on, and we had a couple good counterattacks, but then it kind of evened out and was pretty open for most of the game. We managed to dominate possession as Jeffries wants to do. But in the second half, you know, they were chasing the game a little bit. They had a couple chances. Andrew came up with some great saves.
Two really good saves.
And shout out to center back Greg Jordan and Henry Kalungi, who Greg is our sixth center back starting this year. I saw James put that out on Twitter. Played a very innocuous game at center back, which is exactly what you want from a center back.
Yeah, you forgot he was there, which is absolutely perfect.
Exactly. But yeah, he had a great game. I thought Ehrman had a pretty good game
as
well.
It's pronounced Armin.
Armin.
Ehrman, Armin.
Genuinely,
whatever.
Which is it? I don't know.
It's Ehrman, but that commentator just can't get it right.
Well, Jakey.
Jakey boy.
He had a good game. Yeah. And that starting role between him and Mutayo, I know, has been kind of like contentious, where Mutayo will get in a little bit. Then Jake plays the next game. You know, they've both been kind of fighting for that spot. I thought Jake did a great job playing last night.
You got nothing to add, Gary?
Yeah, no. Jake did very well. Not spectacular, but
put in a good shift.
Probably his best game for us.
Better than Bethlehem.
than Bethlehem. So they played Jeffrey style. Seems like, for the most part, controlled the game. I didn't check the stats on possession or anything, but based off of...
Nashville was about 60%, weren't they?
Yeah.
Another one of those where we actually gave up possession, but won the game.
Yeah, it was when, like, early on we kept possession pretty well, scored, and then sat back. Because we scored just before halftime.
So explain the straight red at the end of the game.
So, like I said before, on the complete opposite side of the field from us, in the opposite corner... from my perspective, we saw Caleb chasing down the ball. Caleb had the ball. The Nashville defender kind of got in front of him, and then they both went to, or no, Caleb didn't fall down, but the Nashville defender fell down. You couldn't see from our angle what happened. He was in front of him. And then you watched the replay, and Caleb kind of got him around the neck and gave him a noogie and then threw him to the ground.
Gave him a noogie. He definitely gets hold of him. I'm not sure it's around the
neck. I think he stepped on his ankle, too. It's a good one. But what you didn't see was after it, when all the players are trying to figure out like what happened, much like us trying to figure out why on earth did he just get sent off for that, mm-hmm. Matt Pickens runs from his goal box and smashes straight into Alex Martinez, which I'm sure drove many away fans that we've played who Alex has gotten just slightly under their skin.
A little bit.
I think they were probably happy to see that, but absolutely nothing but a yellow card that the ref gave, which that was a way more violent thing that occurred than anything Caleb did. And Pickens, I don't know if you know this, is an absolute unit. In awe of the size of that lad.
He's a relatively solid man.
He's a large fella. He's got a couple LBs on Alex, we'll put it that way. But
probably a couple inches too, I would imagine.
Yeah. He's a unit.
And only got a, that I assume it was in
just
front
a yellow.
Of,
yeah, the ref is standing right there.
One of the referees.
And the linesman also, who's right on that side. It was absurd. Absolutely absurd. But, you know, pro referee.
Sorry, Donnie got 3 games for that?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Matt Pickens, who literally Brian Urlacher, one of our players, got a little slap on the wrist and all right, see you next week. Cool.
Appreciate it. Thanks, big guy.
Yeah.
So let's talk about. Hopefully, this has changed there for him. But let's go back. And
no, let's not.
The first. Well, we have to. So the first win since June 2nd. That's over a month, obviously.
Yeah.
For those of you who can keep track of calendars.
This is a tough stretch of games that we've been. We came into this tough stretch of games talking about what 21 days, 7 games.
Yeah.
And we're about 2/3 of the way through that now.
Yeah, the next 2 games we have, I have written down, we have Cincinnati next Wednesday, and then we turn right around and we play Louisville that Saturday, both away.
2 really fun, great, easy places to play.
Yeah, one in a huge stadium, the other one in a baseball park. So
one in a huge, small stadium. Like the field itself is quite small.
Yes.
And the other
field,
one is on
stadium.
Somehow a smaller field.
Yes, with dirt underneath fake grass.
Yeah, you have to just hope that the injury bug that we've been dealing with doesn't rear its ugly head again.
Well, that's what I was, has it been injuries? It's obviously been injuries and suspensions play a role in that. But has it been?
A lot of rotation, too. Some of that forced through injury. But trying to keep players fresh. We don't have the youngest team in the league. So that weighs on you.
Has Jeffries done a good job of managing the stretch? And again, we all love Coach Jeffries.
Oh,
but, you know, he'll be the first to tell you if he needs to be criticized.
# Jeffries in.
Yeah.
I think you got to question the Bethlehem selection. Yeah. I mean, that team sheet came out. I think we were in Jack's house and everybody was, wow.
I think I looked directly. Ooh, Gary's pushing buttons over here. I think I looked at you and just said, what the hell is this? Like, it came as a shock, right? Because Jeffries doesn't really seem to substitute that many players all at once ever. But to do it on the back of a not-so-great game, maybe he had justification for it, but it didn't seem to work out for us.
Was that the game where they had, I think I saw what Jason was talking with James, and they took 18 players but only dressed 16, or 20 players only dressed 16 or something. He didn't have a full roster for some reason, but
I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter. Besides that, tactically on the field, any concern? Has it been anything that you think he could have done differently over this span? And again, it's hard to say this because of injuries and cards, but
we'll see. Zaya had played a lot of those games and had a couple really good chances, scored a couple goals, but. You know, he's one of the of men of a certain age, like Gary Ford over here, playing a lot of minutes and a lot of games back to back, playing on a Saturday, playing on a Wednesday, playing the Saturday again. You know, that it's a lot of stuff, and I don't know the guy's physicality. Maybe he's got the endurance for it, but I know I don't. And I'm a few years younger and not at all a professional athlete, but that's tough. And towards the end of that run, you kind of see that in his pace a little bit. And I think he got a well-earned rest against Nashville. Came on as a sub, subbed on a corner, didn't kind of lost his man on that corner. That was the reason they got a shot against Andrew. but made a great save. So yeah, it's, you can't question it too much because it's a ton of games back to back, but you know, all in all, I think Jeffries is still the man for the job, and Jeffries in.
Do you think that Zayed is a
Clark
more,
out.
It's more of a
it's coming home.
More of a super sub kind of a role? Is that a better fit for him, or is he a 90-minute player?
So it's tough because he was kind of filling in for Caleb, right? Caleb was dealing with injury.
He's going to fill in for him again, too.
And yeah, exactly. But, you know, they play a similar role, that kind of larger guy up front. Jorge's not the target guy winning headers, although God bless him, he tries. He goes up and attacks those like he's going to win them, and sometimes he gets lucky, but... yeah, having the big guy up front, I think it's more of a like-for-like switch, and I think that's why Zayed was playing so much there. You know, with Caleb healthy and Zayed healthy, it'd be interesting to see who gets the minutes, but lately I would guess the one that's not suspended.
The one with two good hamstrings not suspended.
Yeah, precisely.
How has the midfield been with Kai and all those guys? Kai seems to be a staple in the midfield.
So, yeah, I mean, it seems to be Kai and George, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Which is a nice combination. You got
talls and smalls.
Thinking more in terms of the destroyer and the creator.
You guys are just full of nicknames today. I like it. It's great. This is the creativity that we bring to the 60th episode.
Kai, I forget which game it was, but
I think Kai's game has improved greatly since he shaved the mustache off.
Aerodynamic. It helps.
It's. I think it was your suggestion. You saw him at 7th Street Market and said, "Hey, Kai, gotta lose his stash, man. It's a little too Swiss.
A little too, just a touch too Swiss.
Yeah, we need a more neutral palette."
You get more neutral than Swiss.
Yeah,
what
game? What game was that Kai put that ball over the top right on Cato? It was Richmond, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Richmond away, where he put the absolute dime of a pass right on Cato, who finished like directly behind the back line, perfect ball. And that's where Kai excels in his game, I think. Kevon's more of the, I'm going to kind of push you off the ball and win it back and get forward. You know, doesn't score a lot, but last night managed to find the back of the net. I think they're a good pairing, complement each other very well.
Arsenal's Vieira and Petit, very similar to that, maybe?
Sure.
Kevon George kind of looks like Patrick Vieira.
The give and take between you two is just phenomenal.
A little bit of a stretch.
And it's perfect for
the
podcast.
Physically,
Kevon is much thinner.
Is he? All right. Well, now maybe. In his playing days.
Vieira was still a pretty... He's a big guy.
Giraffe-like.
Really? All right, fair enough.
I think his neck was that long, but...
Gary, how is your... How's the president of the Cato fan club going for you? How do you feel about his performance?
I'm still feeling that was a good preseason pick as the player.
Yeah, he's been great.
To be most excited about.
It was interesting seeing yesterday him playing 4-4-2, Jorge and Cato, the two smallest possible men up top. And I know they were kind of going back and forth, like one would drop in. Yeah. But when they were pressuring the ball, they both were pretty much right up against Nashville's back line. So definitely not a target forward, but it managed to work out.
Beautiful. And if are we all in agreement now that Dykstra is the number one?
I think so. I mean, based on recent performances, and it's hard to put Bethlehem against Brandon because
come on, man.
There was a lot of stuff going on there. But and I'm saying this more positively towards Andrew. Andrew's come up with some really key saves in important moments of games that have kept us in it.
Still not a bad 1-2. I mean, to have Brandon as a backup
is
extremely, it's a blessing.
Yeah, I hate it for Brandon because he's a super talented keeper, but we can only play one, you know?
You've mentioned everybody but the fullback so far. And Sam, again,
ugh,
a great performance. And Joel last night was fantastic.
Yeah, Joel and Sam both.
Tearing them apart.
I was getting ready to, because we've had such a transition of the back line, so.
Yeah. Joel came up with some great defensive plays in our own box where the ball was bouncing around and Joel managed to get it on his feet and either dribble it out or got it out. Sam moving forward, I've run out of superlatives to describe him besides his lovely dad that we met in Nashville. Still, I'm going to go back to that.
Contractually obliged.
Fantastic dad. But just an outstanding outstanding player for us.
He keeps progressing.
Yeah, and he's gotten better and better, which has been difficult to do because he's been so solid this year so far.
So who has the better parent then? Is it his dad or is it Lewis's mom?
Ooh,
yeah.
See,
this is. These are the hard-hitting quests. This is like blue cheese and ranch territory.
Don't start that again.
I have seen you, or I've heard you, brag about his dad several times.
He's a good dad.
We've had more exposure to Tina.
It's got to be Tina.
You can't upset Tina.
Yeah, and he's not as involved on Twitter, and I think that's where Tina really flourishes.
she's a gem.
Yeah.
She is fantastic. And he's having a great season in St. Louis, so... More power to Lewis. I'm glad he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing
well. St. Louis.
And very popular there, by the look of
it. He is, yeah. The St. Luligans absolutely adore him. Yeah. And
I remember them asking us, I forget who it was, a couple of Charlotte folks, like, hey, we signed one of your players. What can we expect out of him? And we're still mad at that point. So we're like, yeah, he's going to be great for you, whatever. Shut up.
I believe their response was, he's a great player. He's going to work his butt off. You can have him, but we keep Tina.
Yeah.
Bottom line, we're signing Tina.
He's like a fierce terrier in midfield, just constantly chasing down every ball.
That's a good analogy, I think.
We need to go back to that. What if all the players were dogs, and what kind of dog would they be? 11.
Are we at that point? I think that's what we do after the season.
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay.
We're trying to figure out stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
I think we're okay right now. So let's talk about the FC Cincinnati game coming up next Wednesday.
Second half of the Queen City Cup,
yep.
of which we have taken a resounding lead in, and I cannot wait for our complete capitulation up in Cincinnati.
So we won the first match 4-1, right?
Is that correct? Right?
So and it's aggregate. Am I not mistaken?
It is.
So if they come back and they
so
beat
if
us
we're
going to
lose
five,
it, we got to really lose it.
If they beat us 5-0, we lose it.
Yeah, so let's all look forward to that. Definitely
actually,
happening.
It could technically be 4-0. It would have to be 5 because 4 would just put us even. No, no, 5.
Yeah,
4 would do
4,
it.
4-0 will do it, yeah.
4 will do it.
And they have the crucial away goal.
You guys, do we really pay attention to the away goal?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What do you expect out of Jeffries? Because Duckett should be back, right?
Yeah.
Because he only had the one game
for
the second yellow branding. And... but Caleb will be out.
Yep, Caleb's out. Donnie's still suspended, which is absurd again.
Will that be the second or third game?
That'll be the third because he was suspended for Bethlehem as well.
So he'll be back for Louisville. So what are you guys expecting?
Right, is that right? Or has he already been out 3? I can't remember. Regardless, I think going to Cincinnati, getting a draw would be a great result just because it's such a tough place to play. Cincinnati's been such a good team. We got them once when they were not at their best. I don't expect to get that twice
and
in
a
season.
It was early. Jeffrey said you don't put a lot of stock into the early games.
Right.
Just because they're still trying to figure out who they are. You're still trying to figure out who you are.
It was later on in the early part of the season. But,
yeah,
but
just
still.
Saying, it's...
That surprised the crap out of us.
The games are going to be tougher as the season goes on.
Like, they were far and away the top team in the league. They had like 3 or 4 point gap in first place, and we managed to demolish them 4-1. So that was certainly unexpected. I don't expect it to happen twice in a season.
When was that game, Gary? I know you're looking.
I can't find it. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, fair enough. I could be wrong on earliness of the season in the games. I don't care one way or the other personally. So, what are you expecting? You know, in terms of a lineup, is Duckett come back in? Obviously, you would imagine so.
I think Jorge and Zayed up top. I think Zayed's going to do well against their traditionally German large men center backs. Because I don't know if you know this, Cincinnati, German city. The German word Cincinnati.
But does that matter when you can sign people from all over the globe?
The German word for queen, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't
think
they don't just come in Cincinnati and automatically become German.
It was the famed German Queen Cincinnati.
Yes.
We all know it. Mm-hmm. It's in your history books. Look it up. I think Zayed and Herrera up top. Cato, obviously, one of the first names on the team sheet. I think George and Kai keep their spots. That way we can keep our record of having 2 Georges in the team, Jorge and Kevon.
Is that really a record you're keeping?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Oh, we reminded Nashville entirely last night, we have 2 Georges. You haven't. But Backline is where we've been making a lot of the changes.
It's whoever's available. Asking us to predict an Sam, 11.
Sam and Joel, and then two center backs.
Don't pick the 11. Just, you know, pick six.
I've got most.
I think you've worked out.
I've got nine. There's nine on there for you. Andrew in goal.
I was going to say Dykstra in goal. Yeah. So, Gary, you have the tough. Who's the back four, Gary?
Give us two center backs, Gary.
I should be at the Louisville game the following Saturday, and I should take my boots just in case.
Oh.
You know, the season we're having at the back.
They're not going to play you.
Especially I've seen not you, on a baseball field.
I've seen you. You got winded singing. Seriously, I look up at Gary last night, and this is after a long stretch of this newly found loved song, and he is so sweaty. I'm like, is this the best workout you've had, just shouting?
Keep in mind, you threw your back out singing.
Yeah.
So, like, the first tackle that you go into.
Put me in, done. Coach.
You're done.
I got this.
Like an old John Stones.
You know, when the time comes, you step up, Gary.
Yeah.
You step up.
He's got the forehead of a Harry Maguire.
Swing for the fences.
Hurt yourself in the process.
He's trying to keep that record of a red card every game.
I'm sure that would happen. I feel like there would be somebody that's taken down from behind, not intentionally, just because the reaction time is that slow.
So Jason asked me an episode or two ago, you know, does Charlotte have a problem with, you know, red mist descending and losing control and picking up all these red cards? And I said, no. I'm an idiot.
You want to revise that?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we keep doing it. What's going on?
And it's not your usual offenders either. Like, you have to. Yeah. I was going to say, one of them's in Colorado now, and the other one has been relatively well behaved lately.
Has he got any cards in Colorado?
I don't think he's been sent off. I think he's got, come on. He has to have had at least one yellow card.
You would think, but like, I don't know. I haven't followed that stat. Anyway, okay, good. They will be back home a week from the Saturday on the 28th against Penn FC.
Penn 15 Club.
And they're going to be wearing special military appreciation jerseys that they will be auctioning off after the match.
I saw those. I'm not sure how you could miss them.
They will be autographed by the player. I think it'd be fantastic if they made 50 or so limited editions, sold them, and gave all the proceeds to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It looked like there were a few people asking about it online, too, so I hope that they take that into account.
It would be huge. I think that would be a great thing to do. So be there, watch Gary sing, get winded, and throw his back out.
Try not to fall down.
And I assume we'll hear the same songs again, right? The new love songs that you guys have that go on for 15, 20 minutes at a time? Just keep going?
Yeah. The thing about that song is it's very short, so you can just keep doing it. And
if it doesn't get that
annoying. You put me on the bass drum, I'm going to bang it.
So many jokes that we don't need to discuss right there. All right, anything else you guys
want
to talk about?
Will you be there, Brad?
For the 28th?
Check your calendar.
I might be.
Come on, son.
Hang on. Let me explain. My kids are going to Virginia to spend a week with their grandmother and my stepfather.
Even better.
Well, they'll be coming back in on that Saturday. So depending on when they come in is...
Call them an Uber.
Well, they'll be driving themselves in. They just can go to the house.
Oh, yeah. There
it's just
go.
A matter of if depending on what time they get here. My daughter would love to be there and might take her.
Duck probably won't be suspended by then.
Probably not. Now, I am going to the Liverpool game on the 29th.
Oh, yeah. I still don't have tickets for that. I probably should get those. Go soccer.
Go. Hashtag soccer rocks.
Yeah.
The last soccer thing that I'm gonna mention real quick before we can end it with something else, but for everybody who listens to the show, you know Ashley Mahoney, obviously. Last year, her mother, my mother-in-law, passed away from cancer, and she started a memorial scholarship fund. She did a GoFundMe for it, and actually met her goal, and people are still donating, and that's great. But I want to give a shout out to Jack's Militia, and I don't know whose idea this was to do so, but I am grateful that you guys are doing it. You have a chance to win a signed Enzo shirt.
Yes, sir.
And buy your raffle tickets at Jack's house or online. $3 a ticket, 5 for 12. Every single dime of that goes into the Mary Mahoney Memorial Scholarship Fund, which was my mother-in-law. She had a deep love of art, which is something that she did not discover till late in life, or later in her life, and was a phenomenal painter. And she was a substitute teacher, worked in the school in Calico, New York, where Ashley's from, and my wife grew up. And she would love this idea in her honor. And the scholarship will go to somebody who is going to be furthering their education in art. So you can check out Ashley's Twitter feed or at the Charlotte Post, any of that stuff underneath their foundation. But if you want to find a good way to donate to something that is a fantastic cause and is very local and dear to the soccer community here, not only for Ashley, but for me, my wife, my father-in-law, my kids, this is a good way to do it. So, and you get an autographed Enzo shirt if you win. And if you don't, you just have the lovely thought of knowing you did something good to help out a fellow soccer fan here in the city. So,
amen to that.
As both of you who are members of Jack's Militia, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think main credit for that goes to Richard.
Yep. So. Hat tip to Richard. That was his idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
I think some other guy named Jason also probably put in some thought.
See, now I have to give him credit,
whatever.
Too.
We're doing a lot recently.
You haven't done a lot of charitable work.
We've been good.
You have. You have. And aside from the song that I hear is horrible...
No, it's good. Really it's good.
We cleaned that up.
The first revision, the first rendition of it was not the best, but the revised song, perfectly lovely. I think Gary should give us a sneak peek to it right now.
Yeah, Gary, go ahead.
2, 3, 4.
No.
He's already sweating. Playing the shoulders now hurting. You can't do it. But seriously, for that gesture, I'm very grateful, and thank you guys for that. That is a wonderful thing that you're doing, and all the charity work that Jack's Militia has been doing has been nice to see. Who is the president of that now?
You're not going to like the answer.
I can't pronounce his name. Bailey?
Hyson Bailey.
Hyson Bailey? I know that guy. Yeah. Ugh, God, you guys should vote him out.
Coup.
This is not a democracy. Nobody voted him in.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he ran unopposed.
He just took control.
So it's a dictatorship.
It's
all right.
It's a hostile takeover.
All right. Well, he's done a great job in terms of the charitable
work. He has done a good job.
And it's a great organization that is doing a lot of great stuff here. I think you guys have had 2 Jack's Days out.
Yeah, Charles. Mm-hmm. Charles takes care of that. Hopefully another one soon.
Yeah. So good.
Happy to be able to have been able to contribute.
Yeah, and then obviously... I think at least 3 of them listen to the show. 2 of them are here in the studio with me. So, and Jason. So there you go. There's the 3 of Jack's Militia listeners.
He's with us in spirit. R.I.P. Jason.
You know, I don't feel like that's accurate.
He's not with us in spirit?
Well, I feel like he might be with us in spirit, but I'm not sure that he needs to rest in peace.
Jason, be with you.
And with you.
And with your spirit.
All right, anything else you guys want to talk about?
We're devolving.
I thought we were going to do the history of ancient Greece.
We are. I'm waiting for you to take over that because that was your idea.
What?
So after England lost, right? Yeah. And I knew that you guys are probably at Temple Mojo maybe before the game. But I sent a message on Twitter to Gary and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, so what do you guys want to talk about tomorrow? And within 3 minutes, Gary replied, history of ancient Greece.
Yeah, not at all what just occurred.
Done, because that drives ratings.
Cold light of day, feeling a lot better about things. You know, we did fine. We could have done better.
You had a great run.
Whatever.
You had a great run. Be proud of the potential third place finish. Now, if they take fourth, you need to just be completely
Nobody
demolished.
Cares about third place.
You know what? That's what somebody who's going to take fourth place.
Sounds Here's like someone about. Who doesn't enjoy the Bronze Age.
And I'm going to be honest with you. You know who cares
Hashtag
about third place?
Ancient Greece.
Fourth place finishers care about third place, sir.
Yeah.
And you don't. Okay, yeah, fair enough. You ain't first or last. That's what Ricky Bobby said. Anything else you guys want to cover?
There's one thing worse than being last, which is not being able to beat Trinidad and Tobago. And not going there at all.
Oh, I'm completely aggravated with the U.S. and their lack of a result.
Just laying that one down.
In Trinidad. No,
it's all Kevon George's fault.
I have no... When somebody says at least we're in the World Cup, absolutely you were. And we weren't. Because we sucked it up. In a beautiful island nation. We sucked it up.
Yeah.
But the future's bright. Because, in case you were wondering, that team that they... we played France to a 1-1 draw with our young guns before
the
World Cup.
Against the children.
Yeah, so...
Still no
future is bright.
No coach?
No, because technically the general manager has not started yet.
Yeah.
Ernie Stewart starts next month, I think.
But he's not. He's just GM. He's not the actual coach of the
team.
No,
but he's got control over who hires, who he hires.
Right.
So
why isn't he taken over yet? What's he doing? Why is he busy?
Because he's still the sporting director for the Philadelphia Union. So.
The Philadelphia Onion.
That's the Facebook notifications for the ESPN Charlotte Facebook page that pops up on the computer.
Ooh.
I know they look like singles ads when you look at it from a distance. Not the family one, obviously, but there was a...
Why is that the one. First thing he thought of?
Not that any of us know what that looks like.
Because I looked at one. You know what? It doesn't matter. Let's not get carried away here. This is not about me. This is about ancient Greece.
I was checking out the singles ads in the paper.
Targeted advertising.
So, yes, the young guns for the U.S. look good, and the young ones for England look good, too. Like, could we dare say U.S.-England World Cup final in 4 or 8 years?
There's some great kids coming through as well. You know,
yeah.
Tommy Abrahams and everybody, a lot of potential.
One thing I did, I was talking with a coworker about this. Out of the England squad, if just 4 years, no injuries or anything, take the same squad, who do you lose in 4 years? Who ages out?
Hendo? Walker?
No.
Yeah.
What's he, 27, 28?
Rose.
Yeah, Danny Rose probably.
That's about it though, isn't it?
So it seems like a young team.
Dele Alli will retire to pursue his career in Fortnite. That's for all the kids out there.
Please tell me
all you millennials and younger.
What is that streaming service called? Twitch or something?
Sure.
Let's go with that. So I'm sure he has something there. So really though, they don't have many that are going to age out. So this could. Are we looking at the golden age of English football
again
in the modern age?
Yeah. The other golden age.
The ones have been so good.
The more goldener age.
It's all golden generations these days. Every country is constantly having a golden generation.
No, the U.S. does not. I hope we're entering it, but that's we have not had one yet, unless you count the win over England in the 30s.
We're getting there.
Getting close. We were getting close.
When play Gary was four.
Play the kids.
Anything else you guys want to chat about?
No Raz, no party.
Fair enough.
He was viciously over-attacked. He's got it some just, character to him just to it, put up with it.
It just
honest.
Got weird. The attacking and then therefore defending and posturing online for people to look cool and know about football that Raheem Sterling took. It's just like, just shut up about it. Just play him. He causes havoc in the back. Defenders don't know what to do with him. Who cares if he's scoring? He's opening up chances for literally everybody else.
Use his speed, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
They have to mark him.
He's exactly.
At least one person has to mark him.
He's creating chaos in the defense. That is what you want as an attacker.
Absolutely.
Just bizarre.
Yep, absolutely. So one last thing is I saw on Twitter Gary had a few board game instances where he was really excited. So I'd give you the chance of 3 minutes, if you could, or 2.5. Tell us about your most recent board game find.
New one? Latest game I got was Azul, which is a lovely tile. Are you going to fade out while I'm talking? Lovely tile laying game. Have you seen that one? I haven't seen that. Works very well for 2 or 3 players. Goes up to 4. Got to stop doing that.
Oh, God.
It's based on...
I thought that was the hard out. Like, Brad's just going to... And we're done.
I can fade him out, though. So just keep talking, Gary.
It's based on the Royal Palace of Portugal, and it was how it was decorated in a Moorish style.
Obviously.
With tiles called azulejos, something like that. It's a lovely game. And
how long does it take to play?
It's a quick one. It's 20, 30 minutes. And it looks kind of nice and gentle. You pick out these pieces, and you lay them and make pretty patterns. But it's actually stabbing the person you're playing in the back constantly and trying to screw them over as much as possible with what tiles you leave. It's great. It's really
now,
good.
Did you find out about this game on your board game podcast that you listen to?
Yes. Okay. It would have been a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Close enough. All right. There you go. So how can people find this fantastic game?
It's in Barnes & Noble.
Really?
Or on Amazon or whatever.
What's the retail price of this game?
40-ish.
That's too much.
God, this is miserable.
says Kevin, who keeps wanting to come back over to play more Gloomhaven with me.
I greatly enjoy playing the games. Listening to you nerds talk about them is hell.
All right. Well, I think that's a wonderful place to stop on the episode 60 of the second Yellow Soccer
August.
Show.
It's August. We got to pick up Pandemic Legacy again.
So
next week we'll talk about that one.
Yeah. So I had a friend celebrating October, if anyone's interested. We do dry January, right? Mm-hmm. People celebrating October. Sober October. October.
All right, we're done.
Gary's looking at me this. Like I'm speaking French.
I don't think he understands what the term sober means.
The language of World Cup winners.
Ooh.
So, this brings up a really good question that I
we can't stop recording.
No, I meant to ask Gary about this. The throwing of the pints of beer. Is that...
Oh, early goal was tragic for that.
Have you never done that?
No, because I value...
I mean, that was...
It's pretty common in an AO section.
That was the
USA
law
games.
In the Barra Brava at DC, was if you score... Any beer in your hand has to go in the air.
Gotcha. All right. So this is something normal for English people?
No.
Okay. This is something they picked up for the World Cup. What I'm saying is this doesn't happen every single time they score a goal in a national team game.
I've done it in independence games.
I know, but what I'm saying is literally like all of England threw beer as soon as they scored goals.
I think the social media age has contributed. I mean, the one in Hyde Park just looked fantastic.
It did look good. It really did.
I think the previous instances of it at Flatiron.
It's because they scored after 5 minutes and everyone had full beers.
It's true.
No one had time to drink them yet.
Did you see that one video with a guy who just came back with three and it's off?
They protect him and then the one just goes, grab it and chucks it over his head.
And did you see the guy's face who bought it?
Yeah. Come on.
25 pounds wasted. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the episode 60 of Second Yellow Soccer Show. Give us a follow on Twitter at Second Yellow Show. That's the number 2 ND Yellow Show. Anything else you guys want to cover before I sign off?
# branding.
Yeah, stop with the branding, Indy. Yeah. Please, we appreciate it, but please stop.
Stop.
The golden age of Athens was under Pericles.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're going to fade you out. And if you guys could also make sure you go and check out the Mary Mahoney Memorial Scholarship Fund. Asha has a GoFundMe page. You can check out all of her social media. Also on Jack's Militia if you want to have a chance to win a signed Enzo shirt. It's greatly appreciated on all fronts. And no matter who you support, let's all work together to grow the game.